just as attraction, the Bhagavad Gita disapproves attraction to sense objects, it also tells us to give up aversion. So, what is the problem with aversion with sense objects? Well, actually, attraction and aversion are both essentially phases of material consciousness. We are experiencing material emotions. When there's attraction, then that means there's attachment. I want this, I want this, I want this, because this will give me pleasure. And then there's aversion, this is not giving me pleasure, this is giving me misery. This is giving me misery, this is giving me misery. That is aversion. Now both are very, very body-centered, self-centered visions of things. So for example, you know, sometimes people say that we are in love with each other. And I can't live without you. So sometimes those same people who are initially madly in love, then they come close to each other, they start living, they start finding out, you know, okay, this person has this problem, this person has that problem, and they say, earlier they say, I can't live without you. Now they say, I can't live with you. Just go to the other extreme. This is what? Raga and Dvesha. When they have this extremity, the emotions are extremely moving like this extremely, then one cannot have any sustainable relationships. So both of them are phases of material consciousness. And the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita is to rise to spiritual consciousness. So we are not enamored, we should, what the Bhagavad Gita asks us to do is not be enamored that the world will give us pleasure, nor be disgusted with the world, thinking that it will cause me misery. There are broadly three attitudes toward the world: the attitude of karma, the attitude of jnana, and the attitude of bhakti. The attitude of the karma is to romanticize the world. That means, oh, there is so much pleasure in this world. If I just do some adjustments, then we romanticize the world. Jnana goes to the other extreme, and jnana demonizes the world. This world is full of entanglement, full of misery, full of danger. The path of bhakti is to utilize the world. Don't romanticize it, don't demonize it. If some things can be used in Krishna's service, we use them. So, dvesha can actually become problematic. Suppose somebody thinks that, you know, Krishna lived in a forest, in a simple rural place, and that is where we should practice bhakti. And somebody becomes too averse to city life. Well, if one service requires one to be in city, that's where most of the outreach is going to happen. If somebody is averse, that might limit one's service. So, aversion is based on a self-centered vision of things. Whereas bhakti asks, the Bhagavad Gita urges us to have a Krishna-centered vision of things. Now, of course, this does not mean that if we are averse to some things, we deliberately have to do those things. No, bhakti is not about making ourselves miserable. Bhakti is about keeping the focus on Krishna. So, we naturally may be attracted to some things, we may not be attracted to some things. So, a Brahmana will not be attracted to money the same way as a Vaishya is attracted to money. But that doesn't mean the Brahmana is averse to money. The Brahmana is not that absorbed in money. So, we focus on the whole Raga Dvesha Muktistu Vishayan Indiyas Charana Atma Vashya Deyatma Prasadamadi Gachyati. So, Krishna talks about the second chapter. And third chapter also says, Indriyasya Indriyasya Arte Raga Dvesha Vyavasthito Tayor Navashimagache Tavyasya Parimantinam. Raga and Dvesha are there, but don't let them determine one's life trajectory. So by keeping our life trajectory centered on how I can best serve Krishna, we can avoid succumbing to both Raga and Dvesha. Does it address the question? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you mentioned about our